Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Major news, like history major news, coming out of the NBA in the bubble right now. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agwumike going to be joined by a number of guests in this hour to break down what is happening right now, the news that we've seen out of the NBA bubble. The Bucks and the Orlando Magic have boycotted their Game 5 of that playoff series. We found this, according to our own Adrian Wojnarowski, just inside the last hour. And, Janae, as we sit here and still try to respond in this moment, we don't know what's going to happen next. We've seen video on Twitter of players leaving those locker rooms. Now, we haven't heard from any of the Bucks or Magic players yet, but this is one of those moments that will surely be a where were you when, as an NBA team refused to take the court in reaction to the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I think it's not just the decision by the Bucks and the Magic to boycott, but I think it's also seeing, you know, as we're all witnessing on social media, Kevin Love, Jordan Clarkson, a number of players that are voicing the solidarity of them in their decision.
A decision that we know is going to draw a lot of reaction, and we want to get that from one of our best right now. Stephen A. Smith, you see him on First Take. He joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line right now. And Stephen A., obviously a ton going on, but your reaction as we get it almost immediately here to the decision by the Bucks and the Magic to not play their game tonight.
Well, I think that you've got to be proud of the players from the standpoint that, you know what, everything can't be about money. Sometimes there are things that are so much bigger than that. And to boycott in an effort to get the attorney general to address the police officer in question and to potentially bring charges, I think that's a profound statement to try and make. I just don't think that it should stop there. I think it's one of those situations where it's something that I've been calling for a very, very long time. It has to be one of those situations where you're literally pushing for legislation to be implemented on a state level and definitely on a federal level to address these kind of issues that are taking place between law enforcement officials and African-American men. And there are owners, there are league officials who are contributors to the political apparatus, the politicians or political groups and things of that nature. I think you don't stop here. What you do is you make sure you do everything you can to collaborate with them, to provoke them to institute the change that you are seeking. So I think it's incredibly important that you do that, but you have to crawl before you walk. And part of crawling is stepping forward and making sacrifices that bring the attention to the greater good. And this is the greater good. And it's clearly going to be a sacrifice because as a result, there's going to be a plethora of people out there who are going to frown upon the NBA brand. They're not going to support the product. They're not going to support these players. You know that the potential is going to be there to feel a significant pinch economically and financially. These players are not stupid. They're clearly aware of it. And I think that's the statement they're making by doing what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They're willing to pay a price. They're willing to make the sacrifice on behalf of themselves and the communities from which they come. They're willing to do it, and we have to stand up and applaud them for doing just that.
Stephen A., we truly appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts. What immediate implications do you think are going to result from the players choosing to boycott the games?
Well, I think it's similar to what transpired in Minnesota. Keith Ellison was ultimately instituted as the attorney general for in Minnesota. It was a matter of a couple of days before he brought charges against the officer that kneeled on the neck of George Floyd for 8 minutes and 46 seconds and the other officers who, by the way, were leaning on his legs. And so you see that kind of stuff happening. And I think that's similar here. I think what you're going to see is the officer in question ultimately charged with something because the attorney general is being pushed to do so. And I think it's going to be important for him to do just that. But again, I think all things need to be taken into consideration. That's the positive. Here's the negative. There are naysayers out there that frown upon what the NBA and the players have been doing even before they arrived in the bubble, and certainly since. There is an election coming up. You'd have to be blind to know what direction the players are leaning in terms of what they want to do, in particular LeBron James with his More Than a Vote movement. And again, as I've said on many occasions, Sinead, you know, I'm talking about playing chess, not checkers. Yep. And you've got to be mindful and cognizant of the fact that there could be some fallout from that. This could potentially influence an election in a manner that you didn't wish for. You got to take those things into consideration as well when you're thinking about all of these things.
Stephen A., we know your time's extremely valuable, and we're going to let you go here in a second, but just wanted to ask you, how important do you think hearing from Adam Silver might be at this point in time?
I think it's pivotal. And the reason I think it's pivotal is because you heard from him when it came to Donald Sterling. When Donald Sterling, got busted on tape by his mistress saying what he said about why you got to be around black people and all of this other stuff. Why do you even have to socialize with them and all of this other stuff? It was considered so egregious that Adam Silver banned him for life and ultimately forced him to sell the team to Steve Ballmer. Well, guess what? Part of the thing that served as an impetus or provocation for Adam Silver to be willing to do such a thing was the fact that Adam Silver was alerted to the fact that Chris Paul and other guys were contemplating boycotting a playoff game against the Golden State Warriors. And that was enough to incentivize them. I'm not saying that's the reason that he did it, but it clearly played the role. So if that played the role, imagine what's transpiring tonight and what kind of role that could potentially play. Of course, we need to hear from Adam Silver, without question.
We do, and I'm sure we will hear more as officially from our own Adrian Wojnarowski, all games postponed that were to be played tonight, including what we had coming up with the Lakers and the Trailblazers later on. So, Stephen A ton to react to on here. We appreciate your time and giving us a few moments here. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Stephen.
Again, Stephen A. Smith with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Chiney and Golic Jr. here. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwimike. We're brought to you by Indeed. And again, right as we've got Stephen A. on the line here, breaking news from Adrian Wojnarowski. Again, all games postponed, and game five of each series will be rescheduled, the NBA says. So all of that coming down the line there, Chiney. And what you heard from Stephen A. Smith there just now about the idea of where does it go from here? Because now that the players have made this decision to take their services off the court here, the idea of organizing and the way Stephen A. talks about become, I think, interesting ways to look at how this becomes even more productive than sending this message right now by creating a void.
I think it's not just about making a decision to boycott. I think it's also the message you make after. And so these players are right now probably having those discussions in which they're trying to decide what is the one message that we can all push collectively so everyone understands why. That is going to be something very interesting to follow. But I do think that we all know what that message is. It is we have to be better as a society. We can't take each other for granted. We have to value each individual not by the pedestal we put them on, but also as the human being in which we all exist, coexist in this world. So it's such a basic notion, but it's one that is so difficult to share. But I think that's why this decision has been made, because we have to find a different way to share that message. And I say we because you and I, we are peers, we are age mates, we know a lot of people in the locker rooms, both, you know, in football, but also, you know, my community is basketball. I'm currently, and I feel so bad if anyone's watching on the app or on ESPN News, like I'm currently looking at my phone because our executive committee is discussing and seeing and trying to figure out how do we address this moment with the respect and reverence, yet the sense of urgency. And that is something that will constantly be evolving and will be interesting to see the message
happening in real time. And I think you bringing that up is incredible to think about when we saw what we saw yesterday out of the Detroit Lions, because remember that happened in very real time for that football team. The Detroit Lions ultimately decided they weren't going to go out into practice, and they addressed the media in a group. But we remember that started as practice was going to get pushed back. Then it was going to get pushed back a little bit more. Finally, we're not going out of there. Finally, you had a group that had talked through it enough on their own to feel united in that message. And so I think you are certainly dealing with it in the WNBA bubble in real time right now. We know the NBA players probably doing the same and all that. And this is important to drive home. It's because what you all choose to say next matters. Leaders in your communities matters. Leaders in sport matters. We mentioned before, what's the thought process if it's too much? And I got a tweet and it said NBA players boycotting work because it's all too much. It's the most absurd entitled excuse I've heard in 2020. Actual working Americans must go to their jobs every day regardless of how they feel, being paid $9 an hour. I understand why that reaction happens, but remember is that the time and moves that these players, these athletes choose to make right now are because the stressors on leadership are just different when you're looked at as a pillar, a marker, and someone whose words, as Stephen A. said, might literally shape the conversations that become part of a growing movement around the upcoming election, for God's sake. The things that you do are just different. And yes, part of that is the privilege afforded by the wealth in their job to know that they can take that financial hit if they're not at work that day. That's not what's in question here. It's a different, everyone's got different problems. They're all relative. We understand that. And it's not to say they're better or worse, but they're saying there's different gravity that comes with this. And so again, breaking news from Adrian Wojnarowski, all NBA games postponed today and will be rescheduled according to the league. We'll react to that and a lot more next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We got a lot up in the air right now. Breaking news, as you just heard there, about the status of all the NBA games tonight being postponed. And we're getting ready to talk to, hopefully, Mark Spears, writer for The Undefeated here, who's obviously got TV obligations now like everybody else who's reacting to this news on the fly. Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, and much, much more on this one. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinay Igwumike here. Chinay, you've said your phone's been blowing up right now. The WNBA PA's executive committee is talking about this right now, and so I'm certainly not going to ask you to make us privy to those conversations, but just in general, help us understand the difficulty right now that we know the NBA players and the WNBA players alike are having trying to navigate these thoughts in the bubble in real time right now.
Yeah, in real time, these are all decisions. And, you know, for so long, being in the WNBA, experiencing just our choices when it comes to making decisions, even when league officials don't. I don't think a lot of people understand back when Philando Castile, that situation happened in Minnesota, we made the decision to wear shirts. And we sort of provided the league with an opportunity to understand that, hey, like, this means something to us. We're going to speak in our press conferences about this. And in return, the league was sort of behind the curve at that time and fined us for doing such, but we felt so compelled to do it. And I think we had Bobby on where he said, look, we haven't figured out the ramifications of boycotts. And this is an evolving process by the minute. But when players feel to be at a point compelled to do something, you're seeing their decisions happen in real time. But what is also nice to see is there are certain matchups that were supposed to happen today, but players outside of the bubble, players in the bubble that are not playing today are also co-signing the decision that's been made there. That to me is the player's power and collective action, but also it's now you've done this action. What is going to come next? What is the messaging that you guys will choose to evoke? And that, to me, is the ever-evolving process of this.
And those are the conversations that are going on right now that you were a part of, that certainly the players inside the NBA bubble are a part of right now. You mentioned other players in other leagues, the NFL, a number of players. Our own Adam Schefter tweeted some screen grabs of the NFL players and some big names reacting to this. Tyrann Mathieu said, fed up. Ain't enough money in the world to keep overlooking true issues that affect the mind, body, and soul of what we do. We cannot be happy for self when our communities are suffering and innocent folks are dying. Since George Floyd, there have been at least 20 other police shootings. The McCourty twins respect the guys in the Bucks locker room taking a stand for what they believe in and for justice. And Kenny Stills, the NBA is showing us how it's done. Time to connect with local activists to help formulate demands. And Kenny Stills is someone who's been on the forefront of this for a while in the wake of everything that happened around Colin Kaepernick and his decision to protest in the NFL. Another former NFL voice, our very own Dominique Foxworth, was on ESPN earlier today talking about what message this does send players organizing. And he was talking about this beforehand, but it still seems incredibly relevant now as to the kind of message this can send.
When you feel desperate, you pull all the levers, press all the buttons that you can. And if it happens to be the red one, that means that you won't show up for a game. Then that's just what it happens to be. I'm just happy that I am on the same side with them, because it appears to me that they are quite focused and quite motivated to get something to happen. And I think the point that VanVleet made was that it's not necessarily a message to the DA's office in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin is it's a message to the other players around the league, the ownership around the league, and the commissioner's office. It's a message to them that they better get on board and they better do the same things, because the repercussions of actions that are happening in the street with police that pertain to Black people, the repercussions will not only just rest on Black people in the communities and the families of the people who are impacted by this. So I think it's a brave thing to step out there and do.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and the level of, you said, brave, the leadership that requires. We had a tweet in here from Raymond Carson who said, please don't pay attention to people who use the wage arguments when it comes to athlete protests. He said, I'm retired Army, and when I was enlisted, I had no voice. When I was an officer, I had a big voice. Those with big voices speak for those who don't. And we talk about it. At times, it feels really unfair to put the pressure on you, other players in the W, players in the NBA, athletes in general, to have to stand up for this. But, and I won't speak for you, but I will just ask, how is it at times dealing with the pressure of knowing that you have the chance, because of a platform, because of the sport that you play and love, to speak for others? And how difficult is it to manage that at times?
It's extremely difficult. It's one of those things, as you know, Doc Rivers said, why can't I just come here and be a coach? But why am I having to constantly start to speak, you know, on these issues? And it's because these issues still continue to happen in society. We thought, like you said, you know, so eloquently, that a couple months ago, it was George Floyd that in the middle of pandemic put us all in pause, where we had to start evaluating ourselves and seeing how we treat one another. Even through that, there's Breonna Taylor, there's Ahmaud Arbery, there's Elijah McClain. There's so many individuals that we have seen. And this is something that's been repeated. And we, you know, growing up on the northwest part of Houston, Texas, I've just been conditioned to think that this is just how things are. Like, use your strength to move through a world that might judge you before, you know, they know you. And that just is how things have been. But I think we are that generation where we don't want this to remain. We want to use our platforms for power and positivity. And this is what you're seeing it happen in real time, because there are real, real life effects. And it's something that, whether it's Jacob Blake and what we all were horrified to see, or it's everyday nuanced looks and actions and exclusions that are just, we're conditioned to just have to deal with. We don't want the next generation to have to deal with that similarly. And that is our burden, our added burden, our added responsibility to sort of risk it on a, you know, like even talking now when we should be talking hopefully about sports, right? But this is the sense of urgency that we have right now. Being in the WNBA, I'm part of a league that is 80% Black women. And we understand that we have a responsibility, because not only are we working to grow the game and build respect for the game, we're also representing Black women in society, where we understand where we are on the totem pole and we don't want to stay there. And so that's why we're constantly itching and scratching and moving and trying to push so that we make the game better where it was than it was before, right? And that's not just when it comes to the court. It's literally for our existence, for our identity. This is the nature in which the game I grew up in and I'm proud to be a part of. And it's very similar when it comes to the NBA. When these instances happen, we heard about, obviously, Donald Sterling. We talked about it before because of Doc Rivers. And now, you know, I don't know, many people forget that in 2017, the NBA chose to move the All-Star game from Charlotte based off of a controversial bill. They're used to having to understand the sentiment of their players and also adapt. So this is going to be a very pivotal moment where we see, as you mentioned, Adam Silver, leadership decisions being made to how do they adapt to meet the sentiment of the players so that they continue to use their platforms that they want to do and love to do, but also can't do now because of what they're feeling emotionally. How are we going to move that forward?
How do you go about moving that forward? And again, like you mentioned, talking about sports, we think of athletes so much in their chosen area of expertise. Many have, because of all the stresses you just mentioned, on the fly been drawn to activism, have to learn about this and become as well-versed on this as they have out of that necessity, out of the necessity, like you said, the fight for existence at certain times in these spaces. A ton more on that we'll get to. Again, the breaking news around the NBA from our own Adrian Wojnarowski that all of today's games and tonight's games have been postponed and will be rescheduled at a later time. We'll get more reaction on that next. It's Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial is proud partner with the small business experts at SCORE. Access free online resources through SCORE Small Business Resilience Hub at score.org. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Igwumike with you here. And we are reacting, continuing to react to the news coming out of the NBA bubble as the NBA teams are boycotting tonight's games. They will not be played. They will be rescheduled. All of this being reported by our own Adrian Wojnarowski. We've seen reaction from around the world of sports both yesterday and today as this has gone on, and we want to get more of that with our ESPN football analyst and NFL Live co-host Marcus Spears joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Marcus, so much happening right now in real time. I guess just simply I want to ask, what's your reaction been to seeing this unprecedented move from the NBA?
I applaud it, MG Jr. You know, listen, man, like I said earlier today on NFL Live, man, at some point our humanity is going to just take over and we're going to make decisions willing to sacrifice ourselves. It's been the age-old definition in any situation where people feel like voices are not being heard to change something that's for right. What the Bucks did today is going to be a seminal moment. They should be applauded. Everyone should understand, like, the bottom line is this, man. There is no refuge if everybody not treated with respect in this country. Like, and you have us three right now sitting on this talking right now, and we all have benefited from sports in so many ways. We all have been a part of the community of sports. What sports does. So we all look at sports as a refuge, per se. When I was growing up, I looked at sports as a way out. It's just so many things that we equate being in sports to. And what the Bucks did today is going to change that narrative. Like, the lines aren't blurred anymore. Listen, man, we can no longer go business as usual. Started with the George Floyd situation and the decisions they made to display not only solidarity but to invoke change and get things done in that regard. But now you got the Jacob Blake situation. And to see these players, especially the ones from Milwaukee, say, yo, this is what we're doing. And it doesn't matter that we have a playoff going on. It doesn't matter that we have money at stake. It doesn't matter. None of that matters at this point. Only thing that matters is that a man was shot 7 times, and it's got to be another way for things to transpire as opposed to seeing black men die at the hands of police.
You're right. This is not a call of you being an NFL analyst, myself, NBA analyst, junior, a college football analyst, Doc Rivers, a coach. This is a human call, a human plea. And Marcus, we've seen the NBA reaction. We've also seen the NFL reaction, especially with the Detroit Lions. We've seen also now a decision by NBA players to boycott the games today. What do you think comes next? What is necessary for these players to advance and continue the cause?
You know, today we've had that conversation a million times, and honestly, we all know what it is. We all know that the way you get things done in this country is law. We all know what we need to have happen in order to, you know, if people not gonna respect you based on merit, we have systems and things devised in this country for people to respect you through paperwork, as I like to call it. And I think that's the thing. Like, we all now understand that it's gonna take more than protesting, it's gonna take more than marching, it's gonna take more than being angry and upset and going with the emotional ebbs and flows. Every time we see something like this transpire, it's going to take rich folks in this country, mostly white, because that's just what this country is made of, having empathy and making sure that laws are enacted so people are held accountable. Listen, this is the thing, too. Like, what is so crazy about people being held accountable for murdering people? Like, this is a conversation that we continuously have, and we get nuanced, and You got people that defend the blue, and you got people that's talking about black lives and all of that. Dude, these are people. We are watching people get killed by people that are supposed to be civil servants, and their number one job is to protect and serve. And obviously, look, I don't know if y'all know, my sister's a police officer. I want her to come home every single night. And I've had conversations with her through all of this stuff because she goes through it. They talk about it in departments. But I've had conversations with her. I said, Dee, you have to try to subdue people. That needs to be last resort. Now, I'm looking at the Jacob Blake situation, and people make all of these counter arguments, and I get it. Oh, he had a knife on. He was going to the car. You don't know what he was doing. So there was three of y'all on the dude before he got up and got around to the car. Like, at what point do we stop being nuanced and say it shouldn't have resulted in a murder? Period. George Floyd's situation shouldn't have resulted in a murder. Breonna Taylor's situation shouldn't have resulted in her being murdered. Like, this is not rocket science. This is something that's happening, and it seems like it happens to black people in real messed up ways. And now you have the most influential way that we are taught a lot in the black community to raise our voices is to gain some type of status so people that wouldn't normally listen to you will listen to you and then use that voice to invoke change. And not to exclude you, MG Jr., but Janae would understand this. When we are in this business of media, right, there, black folks in this country, they feel like myself and people that look like me, as well as Janae, are supposed to represent them on these platforms.
Yep.
We're supposed to represent the rage. We're supposed to represent the anger. Yep. And we go about it a different way because we actually see a different point of view because Mike Golden Jr. is our friend. Mm-hmm. And we understand that we do have allies that don't look like us. And people that understand this from an empathetic standpoint and not just an understanding saying, oh, that's so bad, right? So we have both sides, but we have a responsibility within ESPN construct, television, when we are expected to represent African Americans when injustices are done, and when we don't, we get killed for it. So I want people to understand that, too. It's not easy for us all the time to get on to be in social media and people telling us, oh, you now you with liberal ESPN and all of this. And we got black people if we don't say the right thing. You ain't really for the cause and you a sellout and all of this stuff. The bottom line is this, man. People getting killed. People want to be represented. And people want to be represented for the right thing.
Yes.
And that's all that this is about. So if you want to admonish the Milwaukee Bucks and you want to talk bad about how the NBA is and the ratings are down and don't nobody watch that anyway, go ahead and deflect as much as you want to. But the Milwaukee Bucks and their players and these players in the NBA said, regardless of all of that you talking about, this is one way that we feel like can get this thing going as far as people being treated with respect, people of color being treated with respect. So, like I said, I'm all for it. Sports ain't a refuge no more. Everybody welcome to the new damn normal.
Truer words never spoken. Marcus, we appreciate the time, man. We love
Thank
you, brother,
Marcus.
And we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, family. Y'all take care.
You too.
Marcus Spears joining us again on Shanae and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll react. A couple of things Marcus said on the end there that I want to carry over here about that pressure that he mentioned that you, Marcus, and others that look like you face in this business, how that reflects on the NBA and the core of what's being asked here. That's next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Today at Golic Jr., the podcast.
That boycott now extends to all games that would have been played today in the NBA. The breaking news from our own Adrian Wojnarowski. We continue to get reaction on this. Janae and Golic Jr. reminding you to check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service the financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. And to continue to react to this, we're delighted to be joined now by Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball writer and reporter and host of Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio. And Myron, you tweeted this out earlier. I remember we talked to you on the morning show around the killing of George Floyd because you're a Minneapolis resident now, but a Milwaukee native. You tweeted and said, "I love my hometown. Milwaukee and the areas around it need to know that they matter. Significant moment here." How huge is it? We were thinking on the grander scale, but you just mentioned for that area, seeing what's transpired.
Well, I think Milwaukee, I mean, if you're from there, a lot of times you almost feel like it's a forgotten place. You know, a lot of people don't necessarily know that much about the city. You know, they know it's north of Chicago, but they haven't necessarily visited or lived there. So I think for me, this gesture is telling an entire generation, especially of young folks coming up in the city and the surrounding areas, that we see you. And I think that's such an important step in any movement, in any moment, is can you acknowledge the pain that's there? Can you acknowledge the struggle that's there? And I think what the Bucks are doing is they're saying, yes, we are literally isolated in this bubble. And even when we come home, we don't live in some of those neighborhoods that experience some of these challenges, but we are here right with you and we understand what you're going through. And we're going to stop the most important basketball league in the world right now because this matters that much and you matter that much. So for me, it was so important for them to do that and to show that city and all the surrounding areas that they matter. And I think that message is one that people are saying, well, what will it do? I think it's going to affect an entire generation that will always remember what happened today.
Myron, you know, I think I relate to sort of what you experienced considering I was in Houston when George Floyd happened, and he's a Houston native. And there's some power in seeing what is happening in your own backyard. Can you take us behind the scenes to the last few days and even how the city is reacting? We all saw the news, even not just from Jacob Blake, but then also the news overnight regarding the killings during the protests. Can you take us behind the scenes to what is happening in your own backyard right now?
I'll tell you about one of my best friends. He's a principal at a school in the city of Milwaukee, and he had a Zoom call that he published where he was talking to other teachers, and he's in tears because what he's saying is we have to help these young people in this city. And he's broken down, you know, just trying to convey the significance of this moment because those are his kids. Like, that's who Jacob Blake is. Those are his kids that he has to somehow find a way to help them get an education. But even if you have that, that doesn't help you avoid a situation like the one that we just witnessed with Jacob Blake. So I think there are a whole lot of people who are saying, what else do we have to do to stop ending up on the wrong end of these situations? Why is it up to us to de-escalate these situations? So I think a lot of people in the city and the surrounding areas, because Kenosha, Milwaukee, I mean, maybe if you're from there, you understand the difference. But for the most part, that is the greater Milwaukee area. So I think people feel a sense of, wow, like, do we even matter? Is there value on our lives? And I think that's the conversation that's been happening more than anything. And, man, we are exhausted. This is tiring. Like, this is so exhausting to see another video, another situation like this, and now I got to process this. And my friends in Milwaukee got to process this. And my buddy who's a principal has to have conversations with young men in that city and say, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm going to do my best to help you through it. Meanwhile, as an African-American man, he's trying to digest it himself. It's a lot going on.
It's a lot going on. And that message that you brought up at the beginning, you matter. I mean, what more important place to start than that? Myron, you know, we're up against it here. We appreciate the time and we appreciate you coming on with us on short notice, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
ESPN college basketball reporter and host of Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio. That's Myron Metcalf with us. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. And Janae, that's probably an important point to, again, as we encourage everyone to take a breath on this, like how much that alone to that community we're focusing so much on, because this is so big. It's monumental, once-in-a-lifetime kind of news from the NBA here. But like he just said, to that community that's hurting in the immediacy right now, that real, tangible acknowledgement has to be so much.
I mean, it is so much. And the thing is it's something that is relatable. Even though it happened in one community, everyone can sort of relate to it, especially if you are Black and in America. And for me, it probably just hit me now, like, we are exhausted. We are tired. We are literally on the last of our own energies to sit and continue to talk and say the same things over and over, because what happened in Milwaukee is what happened in Minnesota, is what happened in Texas. It's what happens everywhere. And it just has to end. But why is it not? And that's the question. That's the cry. And that's the plea. And that's the hope that people start hearing, that this is something that it literally is emotionally paralyzing. And that's why you had the news from today in boycott.
That news, I think hearing you say it now, hearing Myron say it a second ago, hearing Marcus Spears when he joined us a segment ago, I can hear how exhausting it's got to be. I woke up during a lot of this summer and said, if I'm tired, I can't imagine how tired Black people are of all of this. That's the empathy being asked for from everyone else, to see this situation not as an isolated moment like some would want, but unfortunately the continuation of far too many that look like it. Stick with us. More reaction to this on ESPN Radio.